Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for another Saturday morning. It is a great day to be alive. Thank you so very, very much. Woo! It's been interesting. Over the course of the last few weeks, God is moving. God is saying we need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our families and be able to help strengthen the family. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you right now and I say thank you. Thank you so very, very much for watching over us, for keeping us, for protecting us, and helping us, like Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do, helping us to be the best that we can be and to follow Christ as closely as we possibly can. I thank you so very, very much for it. Father God, it's not an easy journey, but we know if Jesus walked it and he showed us the way, that we can walk it and follow it. And I just thank you so much for choosing me to do the part of, play the part that you have for me to play. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This morning I want to talk about my co-host is not on this morning. Cynthia is on vacation, and she's out having a good time. So I'm excited about that. Her and her husband and her friends, they are having a wedding this weekend. Oh, no, the wedding is probably sometime next week. But congratulations, Darlene, on your wedding. And of course, yesterday was her birthday, and we just want to say congratulations to you. To God be the glory. All right, mothers and daughters out there, I want to talk to you about a couple things that's going on. The Mother and Daughter Matriarch Now community is now open. We want you to go and visit, look around. It's at matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. matriarchnow.com. Go in, look around, see what's going on in the community. Find something that you're interested in. Let us know. We got information that you could just send us some information, ask us some questions. The community is in process of being built. It's just like a community that you would see in your physical world. When you see them breaking the ground, building out the spaces for the houses to be laid out, you know, that's the way the community is. It is there with the communities being laid out and what's going to be put in each section of that community. So we have phase 1, 2, and 3 up. And I don't know what God is going to do with the other parts of it, but right now, those are the phases that are up. and operating and still being worked on. So just keep in mind, every time you come back, there might be something new added into one of those divisions to see, just kind of explore what it is. We're getting to the point where we're going to have a opportunity to click and send you a message and tell you what new information has been added when we add information on. That is not up and running like we want it at the moment. That's something we're going to add to it as we build the community. The other part is the Mother and Daughter Television Network. The Television Network is now on, it's on Roku, but it is also on the website. It is on the website with, and when you go on to Matriot Now, it's the first thing that you'll see. It should be playing when you come on. If not, just click that little button and it'll start playing for you. Now you can get the same thing on the app. We have an app as well. You can go in on the app and you can download it onto your phone. So you'll be connected to the television network and the community at the same time. And in the app store, you want to look for Mother and Daughter TV Network. Mother and Daughter TV Network. And that's how you would, and then you just download it like you do any other app. It's in your app store, both app stores, for your Android phone and for your iPhones. We have some things coming up. We are planning some events, and I'll let you know basically a little bit before it's handled. Maybe next week we'll have more detail on which events are coming up first and tell you where they are so you can come visit us, join us, and be a part of the Matriot Now movement. What are we doing in the Matriot movement? We're doing training and development with mothers and daughters and crowning our matriots and teaching mothers and daughters how they are to move up into that matriot role. So that's where we are with that, and I thank God for that this morning, and I thank you so very much for joining us. It is a beautiful day here on the outside. I was just looking at something somebody was sending me. And our co-host, Deborah Tyler, she's not on this morning. I haven't heard from Deborah, so I don't know where she's at. But wherever she is, God bless her, and we hope everything is well with her. Okay, let's see if we got any more announcements. I think that's it. Okay, let's go into what we are talking about today as far as our topic. Our topic this morning is mothers and daughters. Where are you on your journey? Where are you on your journey? It's so broad, you know, and as I was talking to the Holy Spirit about this morning, it's like, where are you on your journey? Our journeys start from conception, you know, and when you go back to that, let's just go back and just imagine in our minds where we was conceived in the wombs of our mother and being held in there and processed and being cuddled and comfort and just a little warm body of water and floating around and just, you know, everything's supposed to be going good. Hopefully mother's having a good day and the spirit is good and all is well with her, you know. And you have a peaceful 9 months inside of her womb. You know, you're just like comfortable. God is developing you and you doing, getting what you need to enter into the world in about 9 months. So then you come on up out of that journey and you're born. You know, you come into the world and you're introduced to the world and you're saying like, wow. Okay, what is this? This doesn't feel like it felt when I was inside. Sometimes you might want to go back inside, depending on the chaos on the outside, because you got doctors and nurses and somebody spanking you and all kind of trauma is happening. And then now you've entered into a space where you're saying, I don't even know what this is. What does this feel like? And then You get washed off and clean. You feel that warm water. And then you're placed in your mother's arms. And you're placed on her left side over her heart. And you get synchronized with the rhythm of your mother's heartbeat. And you know, okay, I'm in the right place. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in her arms. I feel safe. I feel secure. This feels familiar to me. Now you started your journey on this side, from the spiritual realm into the physical. And as you grow up, you're going to experience different things, trying to be able to leave the spiritual world. Because as a baby, if you notice, they're still talking their spiritual language. And that's why we don't understand babies, because they come out speaking their spiritual language. And then eventually they learn from hearing the parents and people around them speak, and they adapt the language that they hear. But keep in mind that spiritual language is still inside of you. It is still inside of you. And so as you're adapting and learning other languages, that's why the Holy Spirit is still in us. And he will speak when he get ready to speak to you. So we all have the Holy Spirit. Some of us are more in tune than others, and some are not. But as you grow up as a little child, I remember a lady was telling me just a few weeks ago that her child was talking to someone. And she asked her mom, "Mom, who is that man standing behind you?" And she said, she was a little nervous about turning around because she thought somebody had came into the house. Her back was turned, she's cooking, and then all of a sudden, you got a little three-year-old saying, "Who's that man standing behind you?" And of course, that would scare you. She didn't know whether to turn around, what to do. She turned and she didn't see anybody. She said, "But I don't see anybody." And she said, "What man?" And she said, "That man." And she said, "I don't see a man. Is he still there?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Well, is he mean?" Or she said, "No, he's not mean." And she said, "He's not." She said, "No." She said, "You know who he is?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Who?" She said, "Jesus." So that was the one that I got from actually doing my Bible studies and clicked across this particular story that was on a program. Then another lady come telling me about her child talking about she's talking to someone and she don't know who it was. The child couldn't tell who it was, but she knew she was talking to someone in the spiritual realm. And that is very common for young kids that's coming out, and they stay in that spiritual realm throughout until life just kind of lead them into other directions, and then they kind of lose contact with the spiritual realm that they were talking to and talking to the Lord. But as we grow and we grow up and we adapt, we're trained by our parents. Our parents can only give us what they have, and we are molded to their way of thinking. And then we grow up, and then we're on our journey. And sometimes, you know, we get picked on as we come along the journey, and we get pulled off of our course, and we're off doing other things. And we say, "What in the world happened? What happened?" It's 30 years gone by. What happened? When I was young, I wanted to become a lawyer. I wanted to become a doctor. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to be a photographer. I wanted to be a chef. I wanted to be a designer. I wanted to, and you got so many things I wanted to do. I wanted to sing. I wanted to act. I wanted to be in plays. I wanted to be a corporate trainer. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be, but yet I'm over here doing this, and it's 40 years later. And then you feel like it's too late for me now. It is too late for me to do it because I got children. I got married, got children. Some of you have grandchildren. And you say, I'm on this journey, but this is not the journey that I felt I was going to be on at this point in my life. How can I go back? Or how can I get back on? You can't go back, but how can I get back on my journey? Is it possible for me to get back on my journey? And when I think of something like that, I think of somebody like the gentleman that started Walmart, Sam Walton, and the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's just to name a couple, and I'm sure there's plenty others, but those are the two that kind of popped up in my mind as I was talking. They were in their 60s. I think Kentucky Fried Chicken was 65, the guy was 65 years old. Who would have thought that you would start a business at 65. He was just, he was a farmer for all of his life, raising chickens and doing things on the farm. But just think about it. In his mind, he always wanted to own his own business. He probably said, you know, if I was owning my own business, I would be a very successful businessman. He had to have had those conversations with himself. I would have been an exceptional business person. And when he retired, he was like, now is my time. I don't have to worry about the farm. Probably had his children running the farm, someone else, or maybe just stop doing the farm at all. But he decided, I'm going to try my hand at something that I know works. I created a recipe. And when I fried chicken for my family, they love my chicken. And if my family love my chicken, and I've been frying this chicken for years, and people come over at family reunions and picnics and things like that, and I cook the chicken, and they just go on and on and on about the chicken. See, think about it. He was doing marketing then. Probably didn't even realize he was doing marketing and research, but he knew in his heart they loved his chicken. And as a cook, any cook know, if you chef, when you fix something and somebody say they enjoy it, it does your heart well. I mean, you get full of joy, and you just, I mean, that's it right there. That's the pay, you know. You cook and take something to somebody and they just enjoy what you fix. That's a feeling like you can't even pay for. It's just absolutely does your heart wonderful. Yes, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. They liked it, you know, so I didn't do this in vain. They actually my food. And it does kind of puff your chest out a little bit because you feel good. You're like, okay. Because when you're cooking something and you really like what you're doing, it's got love in it, and you love it when the love comes out of it. So I can only imagine he was so excited about them enjoying his chicken. And he decided, I'm going to fry some chicken, and I'm going to take it to a couple of places and see if they'll let me sell my chicken at their place. And I don't know the full story. I've heard several pieces of it. But the gist of it is that he went around, and, of course, nobody wanted to take on his chicken. So then he says, okay, I guess he figured, I'll just open up my own place and sell my chicken. Well, you know, the rest is history. He's long gone. But that business is still here running, and people are constantly going in and getting fried chicken. Now, I'm going to tell you, a few months ago, they even went in and started doing a vegan chicken. And I thought it was I thought, oh, wow, we have arrived, because it had his seasoning and it was a vegan chicken. So that fit me. But, of course, it didn't last, because people not coming to Kentucky Fried Chicken to get vegan chicken. They come in for that recipe and that chicken. So why am I saying all of this? I'm saying this to show you, no matter where you are now, mothers and daughters, it's never too late to move on your journey. It's never too late. Even if you don't do nothing but start writing it down, start thinking about it, just processing it mentally, you are still being a part of that journey that you have down in the pits of your belly, that dream that you have. Same thing happened with Sam Walton. What he did, he just went out and started selling stuff at little small towns. He had an idea. He was in his 60s. I'm going to get people to let me sell their stuff. And he opened up stores in small towns. And before you know it, he had mushroomed around, and the economy was better for it because people were getting better prices. And then it eventually started choking, really, other businesses, because the prices were so low. But he was going around, I can only imagine, serving in communities and helping people who didn't have a lot of money to be able to get the things they need at a cheaper price. And, of course, that's history, too, as well. So we all are on a journey. But we have to stop and ask God, which journey are we on? Are we on the journey that you send me on? Or am I on the journey that I kind of veered off to? You have to stop and say, what is my purpose? What is your purpose? Everybody has a purpose for life. And it's up to you to decide what your purpose is as you seek God for the answer. I knew when I was coming up, I wanted to be a psychologist. And I kind of got that as I was young and different ones, you know, playmates and kids in the neighborhood, they would just come and ask me stuff, and I would tell them, and they would go do it, and it worked. Or, you know, I was always giving advice. And then I just thought, you know, my family said I should have been an attorney, because I was always, you know, asking the next question, you know. They used to teach me about that. You need to be an attorney. But attorney did not fit in my spirit. But somewhere in there, I had this nudge that I was going to be a psychologist. And when I got out of high school, I got married and started working in the banks, and one thing led to the other and led to the Urban League. But before I got to the Urban League, I was on my journey. I was back on track mentally and physically with my journey, because I started going to school and taking classes in psychology, and that led all the way up to a doctorate. But in the midst of it, I was not happy prior to. All those other things I was doing was not fulfilling for me, and I was wondering why I was miserable going to the banks every day. I was miserable going to the banks. I didn't like it. I felt like I was wasting my time. It wasn't a fit for me, but it paid my bills. And all I know is that I needed to have a job, because believe you, you may not have done this, but I have. And when I first started working, if I didn't like the job, then I would just turn in my resignation and leave, because I didn't want to work there if I didn't like it. And so my husband was saying, you cannot continuously quit, because I was trying to find a comfort zone for me. But I didn't know at the time, I was young, and I didn't know I was seeking to find a comfort zone. I just knew I didn't want to work in that environment. And so I think I'd done that twice. And I only had two other jobs, two major ones, the banking system and the Urban League, and then I was in the business for myself. So each one of those jobs was my longevity, especially with the bank. So I finally went to God and said, Lord, and I was in the banking system then, why did you create me and why am I here? Because I'm not comfortable even in the banking system. I'm doing it. Everybody thinks it's a good job. and it's taking care of me and my family, but every day I come, I feel like I'm going into a system that is controlling me, and what is my purpose? And that's when God told me, go back to what your intent was. You wanted to be a psychologist. That's your role. That's your journey. Well, that meant I had to go to school, and I didn't want to go to school because at the time I'd been out of school for 12 years, and I'm thinking, well, if I go back to school, can I even pass the test? Can I even, I haven't studied, and, you know, I had all these questions, and I was beating myself up. But let me tell you, if God tells you to do it, he's already prepared the way. No matter what it is, just know if God told you to do it, he has already prepared the way. And I signed up to go to school. I signed up in a technical school because I thought I need to go back and get the basics in English and math. I was always good in math, but, you know, that English, can I write well enough? You know, I've always had that little question mark in my mind, even though I was a good student. But, you know, we always got this one thing that kind of the enemy poke at you because he knows that's where you are headed. That one thing that he's telling you you cannot do, that's the thing you can do, and that's a key element to where you're going. Look at me, doing a magazine, writing books. You know, God will write through you. Not me, he'll write through you. He'll help you pass the test. If you then say, okay, I went in there and I was trying to, and I'm just going to, this is a side note, but I'm just going to tell you. I went in there and I was at the Society of Technical College, and I said, I want to take English 99. They'd already tested me. I said, I want to take English 99. And they said, you don't need to take English 99. We're going to start you with 101. And I said, but I need to take English 99. And it was like, but you passed your equivalent of 101 and you do 101 and 102. And they wouldn't let me start at 99. And I was like, sat back. I'm like, I'm paying for these classes and I can't take the class that I want. I want to take 99 and then do 100 and then come up to 101 and then 102. And I feel like I was restructured and rebuilt, you know, in my mind, all about the structuring of a sentence and, you know, and the parts of it. I had forgotten all of that. So I felt like they threw me in 101 and I was just in my head thinking I couldn't do it. And they're saying you can do it. And it was a struggle for me because I had in my mind, I'm not supposed to be in 101. But long story short, I decided, well, I'll just train myself. And I started teaching myself from 99. You know, there's books in the library. Now everything's on the internet. You can go back. You don't have to worry about it. I was like, okay, I'll just do it myself. And I did it that way. But then after a while, I was going for banking and finances. I went back to school, and I went to school for banking and finances. The thing that I said I didn't like, but I figured that's the course they had. They didn't have anything in psychology at this technical school. So I thought, well, I'll just stick in banking and ride this out. Maybe later on I'll move into, you know, psychology. Until one day the Lord spoke to me and says, you need to go into psychology now. So then I went to High Point College and I applied, got accepted there. And I started my journey in psychology. And so that's when I knew I was on track. But when you think that you're on track and you think that you're on your journey and you think, okay, I'm on my journey, everything is fine. Let me tell you, it's going to be rough. You're going to lose friends because people don't want to see you successful most, a lot of times, your friends. They don't want to see you going to school or saying that you have a plan, you got a business plan, you got a business, you got an idea, you know. They'll start leaving, and it's okay. because you have to prune the branches in order for it to bloom. And so I had friends and family, and when I told them I was going to own my own business, they were giggling. They thought it was funny because nobody really, they didn't know nobody to own a business. They hadn't owned a business, and they all worked for somebody else, and they couldn't imagine me. And a lot of my friends were Caucasian friends, and I tell them to this day, they say, girl, you said you was going to do it. And you know, and we're friends to this day. But I told them, I said, y'all can laugh all you want. I know what the Lord told me. And so you have to know what the Lord told you. You have to do what the Lord tells you to do. Even though you may find yourself on a track by yourself, you've got to go. Your journey is not attached to someone else's journey. God will align you parallel with other people going in the same direction, perhaps sometimes connecting on your journey. But you've got to focus on God. When you say, I serve God, you've got to listen to God. He will walk you through. He will open doors. He will pass tests for you. He'll give you the money to pay for your courses. He will provide for you once you decide, I am on my journey, and God will say, I am with thee. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. That's what he told Joshua. Joshua, I told you to go and take the land. What are you waiting for? But they said, the land is mighty and the people are like giants, and the grapes are so big. They had to bring them back on vines that they had to tote them on their shoulders, grapevines. Can you imagine? They're giants. How can we go against them? I told you to go. I tell you to go. I am with you. I am with you. Don't worry about it. What he did, he sent some people out to scout, to check what God was telling him to do. That's not faith. If he hadn't sent him to scout, he wouldn't have known all the stuff that messed him up as far as, you know, making a decision. Sometimes you just got to, when God tell you to do it, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. Because he got the information, now fear came into it. But when God said, I told you to go do it, if I told you to do it, I am with you. I will not leave you. I have prepared the way before you. I told you to go and get the land. And when they went, it was easy peasy, as they can say. Because he moved in his faith. He did what God told him to do. And they got the land because it was already done. So whatever your journey is, it's already done. And you just have to do it. When I left my job, education director for the Urban League, and I said, God said, it's time for you to leave now. Interest rate was 21%. It was crazy. We was in a depression, a recession. They kept calling it all kinds of stuff. My husband thought I was crazy. Friends, you going to leave your job, girl? You can't get no job? What happened if the business don't work? God's going to put you out there when it doesn't look good or don't feel good. He's going to put you out there. He ain't waiting for it to be comfortable for you. He's going to put you out there. And I told him, I said, God said it's time for me to go. Oh, you know, I'm telling you, you see how high the interest rate? We're in a depression. I said, but God don't know anything about a depression or recession. He doesn't know anything about that. He's telling me to go. And I just went in one day, turned in my resignation. I spoke to my husband about it. He thought I was crazy. God said, I told you it's time for you to go. I'm telling you. I turned in my resignation. God, the next week, God opened up a way for me. I opened up my own office. I had one that I was playing around in, but I actually, he gave me an office in one of the best business districts. He gave me two major clients, AT&T and Food Fair, a whole chain, two major contracts. And people say, how did you get those contracts? I told them God did, because he already told me, leave. He sent me there to be trained to learn how to work in the communities. So once I got trained, it's like, okay, you got what I need you to do. Now I need you to go now and open up your office. And then after he gave me those two contracts, he gave me a contract with two ladies at a housing authority. There's two residents that kicked off the community service that he wanted to do, is to help them start a business. And that mushroomed around the U.S. And I had contracts coming more than I could handle. But had I not left the Urban League, I probably would still be there now. I'm telling you. But I took that leap of faith. And sometimes when you take a leap of faith and you do what God tells you to do, it doesn't feel good. It's scary. But God will do that to see if you're going to trust him, to see if you're going to serve him, to see if you're going to obey him. Don't worry about what your friends think. Don't worry about what your spouse think. Keep in mind, God is almighty. He's the creator of all things. He made you. He made your spouse. He made your children. He made everything on this earth to be. He is the almighty God, the most high. And if he tells you to do something, he got your back. Because you don't know what's ahead of you. Only God knows what's ahead of you. Only God knows individuals' hearts. You don't know anybody's heart. You don't know, but God knows. And if you're going to trust God, you got to trust God. It'll get lonely. It won't feel good all the time. But you got to trust God. That's when God knows, I can take you to the next level. I can, everybody in the Bible, as he take me back to Genesis and having me to come back through, I'm up to Joshua now. And I only started about 4 days ago. I've read it before, but I'm doing an auto Bible now, and I'm listening to it and listening and what I read and what God is saying, he's showing me. He doesn't like disobedience. And that's what we're facing today in the world. People are off the journey. They're being disobedient. And people are getting killed. We got fires, storms, hurricanes, tornadoes. All kinds of things are happening. And if you look back at it, it looks very similar to what happened in Genesis and Exodus. It looks very similar to the things that people were going through because they were disobedient. God tell you to do something, and can you imagine you're just not going to do it? Not going to do it? We've all been there, done that. You know, meaning in your heart not to do it, but, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, something told me not to do it, but, you know, I went on and did it anyway. That something was God when he told you not to do it. And you went and did it, and then all of a sudden you said, something told me not to do it. And then you got stung and got punished from it. But see, God will have you do something so he can show you who everybody is. He'll show you your friends. Because people that love you will stick with you, don't care what you go through. They will stick with you. God will reveal who you are and who you with. I believe that my daughter loves me. But if I did something and she doesn't show that love, then God just showing me. I want you to see I want you to see who you're working with. I want you to see who you're around. I want you to see. And so as you travel, God's going to prune around you. But ask him, am I on my journey? Am I doing what you have sent me here to do? Because only when you're on your journey will you find peace. There's no peace in these other things. We do them. But there's no peace. You look happy. You're smiling. You're laughing with your friends. You get together. You do some things. And then all of a sudden, it's late in the evening. Nobody's calling you. Let's say it's after 10. Very few people call you after 10. Around 11 o'clock. And then when they get on up, you go to bed and you wake up 3 o'clock. And then you're fighting yourself and the devil's all on you about something you didn't do or you ain't worthy and this, that, and the other. And that's misery. Been there, done that. I thank God I don't go through that anymore. Because I have my peace. Because I know who I serve and I know I'm on my journey. There is no doubt in my mind that I'm not on my journey. And I knew I was on my journey before, but I finally made that promise to God in 2011. If you give me another chance, if you give me another chance, I will not get off of this journey. If you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. If you tell me to go, I'm going to go. That was my promise to God in 2011. And he told me, your journey is going to be narrow. You'll go out and you'll come back. But you will be a loner. Because sometimes people don't understand. They can't understand what God has told you. But God will put the right people in your life at the right time. He will do that. Just like he did with Jesus. He handpicked the right people at the right time. And God knows what's ahead of you. So mothers and daughters, don't doubt what's in your heart. Don't beat yourself up that you're not good enough. Or you don't have the money to do it, or no one has ever done this, or, you know, they're going to laugh at me. You know, you might say, one of the things that people like, especially young ladies, I want to be a model. You know, they like fashion, they like makeup, and they like hair and nails because what? They want to look pretty on the outside. But a lot of people are looking pretty on the outside and they're ugly on the inside. They're distraught by hurt, things that they have gone through that they don't share with anybody. I'm not saying that you have to, but sometimes you might need a psychologist to sit and talk and get some of the stuff out and get some reasonable thoughts and some different words to put in your head because God made you perfect. Now, sometimes I've had young ladies come to me and they feel, they like to use the word fat. See, fat comes with a different connotation of, you know, lazy, not pretty, you know, undesirable. And I'll tell them, the size that you are don't determine your peace. It does not determine your peace. And people say, one young lady said to me, you know, they always say, oh, you just got such a pretty face. And she said, and it bothers me when people tell me I got a pretty face, like you got a pretty face, but your body is not pretty. See, you think you're complimenting people, but you're actually adding more fuel to the fire because she's already dealing with the fact that I'm gaining weight and I don't know how to stop gaining weight and I'm overweight, but yet I want to be a model and going through. But you can be a model. You can be whatever. If God ordains you to do it, he just wants your heart. He just wants you to serve him. He just wants you to listen and obey him. If you choose to be large, that's up to you. But you can do what you need to do by asking God to help you to lose the weight. That's the way you're going to get it done. Ask God to help you to get rid of whatever it is that's tormenting you. That's the way you're going to get it done. But that doesn't make you less of a person. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just like any and everybody else that has accepted him, you're saved, you're protected. You have a place in the kingdom. That's the journey. You get that peace, then you don't have to drive on this journey by yourself. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they love you, and they will not leave you. They will not leave you. And when you get that, those are your only friends. My daughter is my earthly friend. My grandchildren, earthly people. I got friends that are earthly. Women, men that are my earthly friends. Some friends that really love me. Some friends that'll be there, stick and stay. But I know my real friends that will never leave me regardless of what, because, you know, humans will leave you now. humans will be with you. But the minute you do something that they don't like or make them feel uncomfortable, they'll leave you. They will leave you at the drop of a hot potato. So God said, trust no man, because man will deceive you. They will leave you when it's not good for them. But God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will never leave you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, they will never leave you. That's why he said, if you find a friend, they're closer than a brother or sister. And I got a few of those friends, 40-year friends, 60-year friends. I got a few of those, but you only have a few. I remember my girlfriend, she's not with me now, but she used to tease me a lot, and she said, "Then you know I love you, Bessie." She said, "And I'll do anything for you." I'm like, "Yeah, Irene, but I'm telling you, if they come and try to take a plier and pull my fingernails out, I'm going to start talking." I'm going to tell them everything they want me to do that they ask me. And I thought, well, what kind of friend are you? She said, I'm your friend. But if they, she said, now, Bessie, and she had this accent, Bessie, now if they start pulling my fingernails, girl, I'm going to start talking. And I said, well, I know I can't trust you. But she was only telling the truth. If something comes towards you and you don't feel comfortable, then you may run. Or you may start talking about your friend. You may turn them in. You know, I didn't want to tell them what you did, but they was getting ready to cut off my finger. So I'm not going to let them cut off my finger. I don't love you that much. See, that's why you got to have Jesus, because Jesus laid his life down for you. He got pierced in the side. He got whipped. Blood all down him. He shed his blood. He took it for you because he knew nobody else was going to stand with you when times get tough. He said, I will be with you. So mothers and daughters, when times get tough, when your money's not right, when situations come up against you, come up against your health, when people turn their back on you, when they talk about you, don't fear, don't you faint, because God is with you. And it's greater that he that's inside of you than he that's in the world. And know that you are okay. I'm always happy. And I'm especially happy when the Lord called on me. Can I use your mouth? Can I use your body? Because that's all we are. We are a temple for the kingdom. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And you can't say, God, I give you my body to use, and then when you want to use it, you don't want to let him use it. You got to be careful when you say that. I said that years ago, 2011. I released my body to you. Oh, and he uses it. And I don't have any regrets with him using it. It's his body. He created it. He created the body, made it. He says, okay, I'm going to let you run it, but I want you to, you know, like co-share it with me. I'm going to allow you to do some things, but when I need to use the body to do some things in the earthly realm, I need a body to go through. I need somebody I can trust. I need somebody that will allow me to speak. I need somebody. Otherwise, if you're not allowing God to use your body, why do you have the body? Who gave you the body? You have to think about that. That seed planted in your mother's womb came from God. Man didn't make it. It just didn't appear. He created you, and he created you out of his image, and he created you so that he could get joy. And can you imagine if we all would allow God to work through our bodies, we would really be living in the Garden of Eden the way that he planned it. We would be running around playing like little children. The animals, we'd be riding on the back of the lions. The tigers, we wouldn't be wearing tiger skin. We'd be rubbing on it, looking at them. You know, everything would be at peace. We'll be eating fruit from the trees that haven't been contaminated, just still of nothing but the Spirit of God. Sitting by the river, peaceful in green pastures, just hearing the heavenly music play. If we would all submit to God and allow him to use our bodies to spread love throughout the world. So, let's just rewind. We know that's not the way it is. But God is looking for a few people that will help him achieve some things. And you think about it. When Moses brought the Israelites out, they fussed and they moaned and they groaned. They didn't even like Moses. Moses told them what the Lord said. They didn't like Moses. And just a couple of days ago, I was listening to it, and I knew about him opening up the ground and swallowing up people, but I didn't realize to the extent of what it was when I was reading it as opposed to when I was listening to it. And it was Moses came down, and Moses talking to him. They're going to start yelling and screaming at Moses and mad because Moses telling them what God said. Then Moses even dropped the palace that was written with the Ten Commandments on it. He was like, what in the world? Oh, they got mad. They was upset with Moses and upset with God. And what happened? Moses said, God said, tell them I hear them. I hear them. Moses said, all those are for God. Come toward me. Are for God. Here they come, the ones that was for God. The ones that was not for God, they stood back. Now you see, what were they thinking? You done seen God open up the Red Sea. You done seen God fed you manna from the sky. You done seen God bring doves down and bow at your feet so you have meat to eat. You done seen God put clothes on you that have not worn out. And all of the time, your shoes haven't worn out. Your clothes haven't worn out. No dust in them, no nothing. You done seen God. Pillars of fire is coming from the sky at night to light your way. Clouds in the daytime to shade you from the sun. You've seen God. You even heard God speak to Moses from the sky. But you say, I don't trust God. We could have stayed where we were and died there as to die into the desert. Because what? They're not taking responsibility that they're responsible for themselves being in the desert. Had they not been mumming and grumming and carrying on and having a fit, God would have done something different for them. But they fussed and they moaned and they groaned and it was just something all the time, bickering, bickering, bickering. They brought themselves there, but they never accept the fact that I'm the cause of Moses saying what he said. So the people that came to Moses, God said, tell them, come closer because I'm getting ready to show them something. I knew he opened the earth up and swallowed them up. But what I didn't catch was wherever their wives and children, their tents, their cattle, he swallowed them all up. Wherever they were, he swallowed them up into the earth. Can you imagine? You at home with your children? You cooking and cleaning? Minding your business, not knowing your husband is out there speaking against God that's going to affect you and your children? And they all got swallowed up, the cattle, everything they owned and touched was swallowed up. Because they spoke against God. Well, I'm going to tell you, I fear God. I fear God. And I think what God is getting me ready for is that I need to know that I can trust you, Bessie. I need to know that if I tell you to do something, that you're going to do it. Because I and I alone know where I'm sending you. And I don't want you to get someplace that I tell you to say something and you don't say it. So I'm going to start right here. If I ask you to do it, I need you to do it. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel comfortable. But lately, because I said to God, I released my body to you. I've been having that experience where God is just speaking to people. I mean, people that's calling me to pray for them. God just starts speaking. And being a matriarch, we have to realize there's a lot of responsibility. And God's just looking for someone that he can speak through. Because we are responsible for other people. Like those people out there. Says, I'm not with God. They did not realize that they were responsible for their children, their household, the cattle. There was other people attached to them that they are responsible for. And we are attached to other people. And that's what God wants us to know. So if you're not on your journey, then you're not going to be headed toward the point and the mark that he's directing you to. And the enemy will do everything he can to get you to get angry, to get upset, to do whatever he can to get you off track, because he knows that's the way to get us, to get you, get confusion and get off the word of God. You got to stay with the word of God, and the word of God will keep you on your track. It will keep you on your journey. And of course, no, it's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. But where are you going? Who are you serving? Serving God is not easy. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you.
right, mothers and daughters, that's our show. Where are you on your journey? Think about that. Listen to it. Go back and listen to it again. Because the Holy Spirit has spoken. He's the one that can help you stay on your journey. And when you get on your journey, you'll have peace. Nothing will disturb your peace. And you'll be happy as you go along your way. Even when it gets rough, your peace won't be disturbed. You still have your joy because you know it's about following Christ. Have a blessed and prosperous week. I love you for joining me. Pass the message on. Have a good one. Bye-bye.